When I first started studying monarch butterflies, they were very common. It was easy to see hundreds of monarch butterflies in one field during a day. And I just remember so many times taking groups of children or groups of teachers out into a field and having them estimate how many butterflies were out there. So they were very common and everyone noticed that. And then gradually, from when I started studying them, kind of moving into the early 2000s and to now, numbers declined precipitously. And that's very noticeable. And that was noticeable to me because I was studying them and seeing how much more difficult it was to find them. Also, I was going to Mexico most years. So when I first went to Mexico, there was just acres and acres of forest covered with trees that were covered with monarch butterflies. And there were literally millions and millions of monarchs down there. And then gradually over time, the numbers in Mexico went down. The numbers that I was seeing in the upper Midwestern United States where I live were going down. And people were starting to notice this. People were saying, I'm just not seeing as many monarch butterflies as I used to. So my research and that of a lot of other people started shifting toward trying to figure out what was driving this big decline in monarch butterflies. And in order to study something like that, you need to first be able to measure. You need to know what's happening with the numbers. And while we had these sort of senses that monarch numbers were going down, we didn't really have the details for a long time of how much they were declining. So we measure monarch numbers in a lot of ways. People in Mexico actually measure the area of the forest that's covered with trees, covered with monarchs. So in Mexico, we measure monarchs not in numbers of butterflies, but in numbers of hectares. A hectare is about 2.4 acres, number of hectares of land that are covered with monarchs. And when I first went to Mexico, the very first year, that was at 18 hectares. And at one point, it got down to 0.67. So under 1 hectare. And right now it's kind of hovering around 2. So we have this big decline where the numbers started high and went low. And now they're kind of staying at a low number that's much, much smaller than what we used to have. So what we can do is we can take these numbers, both from Mexico and from people that are monitoring them in the United States and Canada, and we can say, what are the factors that are associated with high and low years for monarchs? So what is the weather like in good years? How much land is available to them? How much does the land available to them in Mexico matter? The land available to them in the northern part of their breeding range matter to them? So we can start using mathematical modeling. So this is where math comes in as really important. We can build these models that put a lot of factors into equations and say what factors are associated with these shifts from high to low numbers. And what we find is that early on, when the numbers first started declining, there's a really tight correlation between the amount of breeding habitat that's available for monarchs and the numbers of monarchs. And weather is important as well. So we have a loss of breeding habitat that caused the numbers to go down. But then we still have this year to year kind of, it's not a gradual even decline. There's a lot of variation in those numbers from year to year that's driven by weather. At this point in time, most of the habitat was going to be lost is lost. So habitat isn't really changing very much anymore. We're still losing some, but people are working really hard to add more habitat in. So in some ways we're kind of holding our own with habitat. So now the big factors that are causing the ups and downs in monarch numbers are weather. So we can look at what weather conditions are good and bad for monarchs. And it turns out that monarchs are kind of like Goldilocks. Hot and dry years are bad for them. And cold and wet years are bad for them. And they like it just in between. They like kind of average conditions because those are the conditions under which they evolved. So we know that given climate change models that we are predicting more extreme weather conditions, that we don't have a lot of so-called average years anymore. We have hot and dry years, and we have some cold and wet years. And that doesn't bode well for monarchs. But the important thing is that when we have this connection between weather and monarch numbers, we know that weather isn't the same everywhere. So in a year that might be hot and dry in the Midwest, in the northeastern part of the United States, it might be perfect. And even in fairly short distances. So this year in Wisconsin, it was really hot and dry in the southern part of the state, and the northern part of the state was pretty normal. So even within one state and within pretty short distances, we have a lot of variation in the weather in a given year. So as the climate changes, what's really important is that we have a lot of habitat available for them so that there will be some habitat in the places that have good weather in any given year. So it's really important that we continue to work to increase habitat. Maybe we'll be able to bump that population back up. But also, given climate change, it becomes very important in terms of just holding our own with monarch numbers, that we have lots of habitat available.